I don't know. It's not until next Friday. For the next few weeks, we're going to be exploring the life-changing questions that Jesus asked. Last week, we reflected on Jesus' question to James and John and to the blind man, "What is it that you want me to do for you?" And this week, we are reflecting on his life-changing question to the paralyzed man, "Do you want to be made well?" Like last week's question, this is a deep question, and it plumbs the depths of us. So let's take a look at it. When Jesus returns to Jerusalem, he visits the healing pool of Bethesda. Now, apparently this pool was rumored to have miraculous healing powers, and it was believed that every morning when the waters were first stirred up by an invisible angel of God, that only the first person in the pool would be healed from whatever they suffered from. Now, the writer tells us that by this healing pool, there were many people within the five alcoves there. Some were blind, some couldn't walk, and others were paralyzed, like this man. As Jesus walked around the healing pool, he notices that this man has been there for 38 years. Now, that's a long time to be waiting by a healing pool. It's a long time to be suffering, to be hoping, to be lying around waiting. And so Jesus is obviously puzzled as to why he has not been healed after all these years. And he asks the essential question, "Do you in fact want to be well?" It's a very good question. What is holding the man back? In fact, when Kathleen read it, and I've read this passage, I don't know how many times you read it in Bible study, it never actually says what's wrong with the man. It just says he's been ill for 38 years. We don't know if he's there because he's blind, because he's can't walk, because he's paralyzed. It doesn't say. I've just always assumed something has paralyzed him, that he hasn't made it from here to there. Whether it's his blindness that has held him back, or whether it's his legs that have held him back, or something much deeper. So what is holding this man back from being? The man gives an answer to Jesus' questions. He tells him it's his lack of community. He explains that he can never be the first one in the healing waters because he has no one to help him get into the pool. He answers, "Every time I try to make my way to the pool, someone beats me to it and gets there ahead of me." He has the sense that he is alone, that he has no support, that he has no community. A belief that no one else is there for us can paralyze us. It can prevent us from moving forward. It can keep us from reaching out. Because we're told that there's five alcoves in which there are all sorts of people there. And yet in 38 years, there is not one person who could have helped this man get to the pool. No passerby he could have called out to. So we have to wonder, as Jesus wonders, perhaps there is something else holding him back. Perhaps he doesn't think himself worthy of being healed. Maybe he carries a deep shame inside of him, and he thinks he deserves this infirmity and isolation. Maybe he views it as a punishment from God. So maybe he doesn't make any real effort to get in the pool because he doesn't feel that he deserves to be well. He doesn't deserve to be happy and free. Sometimes it's our own feeling of being undeserving that holds us back in life. Our own lack of faith in ourselves that keeps us stuck. That's what lack of confidence means. Con meaning with in Latin, and fidelis, faith. With faith in ourselves. We don't trust ourselves. We don't have faith in ourselves. We don't believe in ourselves. So we can't move forward. Or perhaps sometimes it's our own story that holds us as a prisoner to our illness. Our identity and sense of self is all wrapped up in the story we tell ourselves. And we don't think we can change the narrative. And so we stick to the story of who we think we are. I am this, or I am that, or this was done to me. Until our health has become so much a part of our identity that we don't know who we are apart from that. So we wear whatever label has been given to us, and we can't imagine daring to live outside of it. Or maybe there is another reason he doesn't choose to be well. Perhaps in those 38 years he has come to appreciate the familiar daily life he lives. It is known and familiar to him. He has his routine, and he has his little responsibility to anyone else. A life in which he would be well might demand something else from him. He would have responsibilities, and maybe he doesn't want that. Sometimes in our lives, we don't make movements forward because of the energy and responsibility it would expect from us. The expectations of us that life demands might feel too overwhelming. It's much easier to just lie there and stay paralyzed in the world we have come to know. The idea of changing our life might feel too overwhelming. It requires too much effort. And so it kind of becomes a form of control to keep our life smaller than it could be. Maybe that's why he hasn't made his way to the healing pool. Or maybe he lacks imagination. He can't imagine life any other way than what it has been for 38 years. He has lost hope that for him life could be any different. And so he has stopped dreaming, stopped imagining. As we can see, there are so many reasons that this man could have been lying there, not changing his situation. There are so many reasons that for 38 years he didn't get in to the healing pool. There are a lot of things that can hold us back from moving forward in our own lives. A lot of things that can paralyze us, that can keep us stuck. But what is important is that Jesus asked him the question, do you want to be made well? It's a yes or no answer. And in that moment, the man apparently decided that yes, he did want to be made well. And you know what? He didn't even have to get into the healing pool. Once he realized that yes, he did want to be made well, then Jesus told him to stand up, pick up his mat, and walk. And in that moment, before he even stands up, we are told the man was made well. Because it was his attitude. It was his thoughts. It was his beliefs. It was his ideas that were holding him back. And once those were healed, he found that he could stand up, pick up his mat, and walk. It was the moment in which he made the decision to be well that he was healed. This story reminds us that when we decide in the affirmative, that yes, we want whatever it is we're wanting, life can change for us. When we make up our minds to do something, we are more powerful than we can imagine. When we choose something, the holy will come up underneath us and lift us up and give us the support and the encouragement we need to do the hard thing, the seemingly impossible thing. So this story asks each of us, if we are feeling paralyzed in our life, what is holding us back? In what ways are we not whole? What in each of us needs healing, whether of body or probably more so our mind or our hearts or our spirit? What is it that we are perhaps addicted to that keeps us from breaking free and living wholly and completely? Is there an attitude that holds us back? Do we have a belief that is keeping us captive? Is there a relationship that is strained that needs healing? Is there unforgiveness in our heart that is keeping us stuck and preventing us from moving forward? Do we have negative thoughts that are keeping us imprisoned? Is it a lack of unworthiness? Is it a lack of worthiness or faith in ourselves that keeps us from feeling or being fully alive and feeling whole and well? What is it that holds us back, that keeps us from the healing of the healing pool? It is a profound question that Jesus asks the man and asks of each of us. If we are not living a whole life, what is it that holds us back? And this story reminds us of several truths. First, it is important that, like the paralyzed man in our story, we need to answer Jesus' question, do you want to be made well? We need to sort out in our own minds and hearts and spirit what attitudes or beliefs or thoughts or ideas are holding us back from being fully alive and whole. We need to recognize what it is that's keeping us stuck. Secondly, this story reveals to us this truth. None of us is alone. None of us is unsupported. When, like the paralyzed man, we think no one cares whether we make it to the pool or not, along comes Jesus, and he notices, and he cares whether or not we are choosing to get in the pool or not. The divine cares. We are supported. None of us is alone, even when we think we are. We are deeply loved and held in the heart of the sacred. This is one of the truths of this story. God notices and knows us. And that can give us the courage we need to stand up, pick up our mat, and walk. Third truth, this story tells us that healing is possible. Maybe we can or can't heal our illness or disease or physical condition, but we can heal our minds and our hearts and our spirits. And like the paralyzed man, once we make a decision to heal, whatever that healing might be, healing will automatically follow. As soon as Jesus asks him the question, do you want to be made well? He realizes that his answer is yes. And he heals. We might not know what healing looks like. We might not even know what is possible, but some aspect of healing will occur at some level to bring greater life to us when we answer yes. Fourth truth, as we heal, expect resistance. There will always be resistance from those who don't want things to change, don't want us to change. As soon as the paralyzed man begins to walk, as soon as this man is healed, both the man and Jesus meet all sorts of resistance. The Pharisees begin to grumble and mumble and cast blame and get all bent out of shape because a healing has occurred and come up with all sorts of reasons why the healing shouldn't have happened. It's the Sabbath day. So don't be surprised when people around you don't want you to change. Which brings us to the fifth truth of this story. While we may resist change, while we may resist healing, the movement of the Spirit is always a movement to heal. It is always a movement to move forward, and we cannot stop the movement of the Spirit. Jesus points out that this man could not have been healed unless God wanted him to do. He said, I didn't heal the man. God did. God and this man healed the man. I'm just an instrument. Jesus points out that this man could not have been healed unless the Spirit was at work. And he says, the Spirit of God is always working. It doesn't matter what day it is, folks. The Spirit of God is always working, and so therefore, he says, I'm working because I cannot hinder the flow of the Spirit's healing movement. And then Jesus tells us the same Spirit of healing that flows through Jesus, bringing life, is also in all of us because we are sons and daughters of the living God. The same healing energy that flows through Jesus, bringing life to everyone around him, also flows through each of us. Greater things will we do than Jesus, he tells us. And so we arrive at our sixth truth. The purpose of our healing is to bring fullness of life to others. Jesus invites his followers to allow the healing Spirit of the Christ to flow through each of us in order to bring life to everyone around us. We too, like Jesus, are called to be healers, one to another. Healing thoughts, healing hearts, healing beliefs. And so on this Sabbath day, the Spirit of God is working. We are invited to receive the healing movement of the Holy Spirit. We are very blessed at Knox because we have a healing ministry at Knox, in which Bruce McIntyre, our minister emeritus, is going to speak to. And then each of us will have an opportunity to go to one of the healing stations and receive the laying on of hands and prayer as a form of healing in our own lives. So Bruce, I'd like you to come forward and to share with us the importance of the healing ministry at Knox. The United Church of Canada has many churches in which we are reclaiming the healing ministry of Jesus. And so Bruce is one of the co-founders of this healing ministry. He's going to share with us.
In the book of James, he teaches us to pray for one another that we may be healed. And that's what our healing ministry here at Knox is all about. Our healing ministry is based on Christian principles and values that reflect the teachings of Jesus himself. And as we look at the teachings of Jesus, we see there's no formula that when Jesus does healing, it's different different times. But as Jennifer has already said, it's the Spirit of God moving through the person that brings wholeness and wellness. Healing and wholeness is what our healing ministry is about. It's not a replacement for medical or psychological care, but it complements them and works along with them. And healing sessions are beneficial to anyone, as Jennifer has already said. The purpose of a healing session in the healing room, room 6 down the end of the hall, is to restore the wellness or the wholeness of the body, the mind, and the soul. One can be healed without being cured. And we mix that up sometimes, thinking that healing is curing. But healing is bringing balance and harmony to a person's total life. Some people think that they're not good enough to come for a healing session. You don't have to be good enough. You just have to be willing. Some people think, I've already got it all together. I don't want anyone to have to show me. We don't have it all together. There are 16 of us who have been trained in the healing ministry of Jesus, and we give treatments on Tuesday mornings and on Tuesday afternoons and Wednesday afternoons, or Wednesday mornings. We're not perfect. We recognize we're wounded healers, and many of the people who are on their healing team are on the team because they came for a healing treatment and said, I want to do this for others. And so they took the training that was necessary, and now they're offering to be instruments in the hands of God to bring wholeness and wellness to those who come for a treatment. To book a treatment, you phone the office here, and you will be booked in for a treatment, and you come, you're fully clothed, and you lay on a massage table, and we, as healers, we allow God's energy to flow through us, God's love, and flow to you to bring wholeness. The healing session is advantageous to prevent illness and to maintain your overall health. It's helpful to have a session before surgery and after surgery. It's helpful for people who are suffering from insomnia, or a person who's grieving and gets stuck in the grieving process. It's helpful. It's helpful for people who are experiencing depression. And healing is important for people who have experienced trauma. There's a special treatment for trauma. Or people who have had a fall or have been involved in an accident, because it throws our energy field out of balance. And we bring the healing, the body back into balance and harmony. We have treatments for headaches. Someone in the congregation mentioned to me a couple of months ago that they were told that we don't have a treatment for headaches. We have four treatments for headaches, depending on what kind of headache they are. So if you have been told we don't have a treatment for headaches, that's not true. If you want to ask someone on the healing team, and they'll tell you that we do have treatments for headaches. Our healing team goes to people who are in palliative care when we're invited. Our healing team goes to people's homes when they're unable to come here to the healing room. Our healing team is made up of very dedicated people who come on Wednesday afternoons, and that's when we learn new ways and share with one another what we're doing. All of the people who are in the healing team have been trained, have taken the courses and are trained to administer healing. During the communion services, we have healing stations at the back of the church and at the front. And you're welcome to come and sit in the chair for a few minutes and experience what we call a mini healing experience. We're going to do that this morning. There's going to be a station there and then a station here. Feel free to come and just sit in the chair and experience being prayed for, being prayed with, being blessed by the power of God's love. And we're very grateful to the Knox congregation because you have set aside a room for us where we no longer have to set everything up and take everything down. And there's a sense, as you walk into the room, a sense of the peace of God that we offer, that comes in a healing session.